And we knew right from the get-go that rather than just informing the public, that we had a real perception problem here, and that we had to define and go after and changing these perceptions.
Welcome again, everybody, to the Destination Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Stoker. Another great episode in store for you today. We've got a great guest for you. Before we get to our guest, I just want to remind everybody, reviews help us to get noticed, to get more listeners, and to get seen, especially in the destination marketing space. If you're enjoying the podcast, please, please leave us a review. We would love to get that so that we can continue to climb in the charts as we have so far. The numbers are pretty exciting to see. We're getting more and more listeners every day. So thank you for telling your friends and getting more people interested in the show. We have a great guest, like I said today, and his name is John Ricks, and he's from the State of Nebraska Tourism, and they've got a really unique campaign that we're going to be talking about today. John, welcome to the show.
Hi, Adam. How are you? Thanks a lot for having me on.
Doing great. Doing great, especially now that we've got you here with us.
Okay.
Yeah, we're ready. We're ready. We're ready for your knowledge.
All right.
Before we dive into your campaign and everything, though, John, we have a question that we kind of ask everybody that comes on the show. What is your dream destination? If you could go anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Wow. It's a toughie for me because I've been to 50-plus countries. I still haven't been down in the New Zealand, Australia, New Guinea, Bali area. That's I would say that, I don't know if they're dreams. I think every place I go is a dream. But I would say down in that area is kind of something I'm looking forward to, yeah.
So for you, it's not your dream destination. It's just the only place you haven't been.
Not really true. Not totally true. I've been a lot of places. I mean, the world's a great place, and travel throughout the world is tremendous. So yeah, I've been a boatload of places.
Well, tell me some of your highlights. Tell me some of your favorite places you've been.
Well, you know, the five weeks in Africa was not bad duty at all. That was fun. Wow. We climbed Kilimanjaro and spent some time out in the Serengeti, which is really kind of fun because you're not, you are the zoo. You're in the zoo, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's no gates or anything. And then the craziest thing I think I've ever done, we went down to Zimbabwe and we, to Victoria Falls and whitewater rafted the Zambezi River, which is insanity. It's the world's largest concentration of class 5 rapids anywhere.
Oh my gosh.
And that'll kind of keep your heart pumping for a good 4 to 8 hours, depending on which tour you pick. But you know, there's a lot of places. I mean, Iceland and Costa Rica and Patagonia and Bhutan and Borneo and Brunei, Vietnam, Cambodia, all these places are, the world's great. Travel is wonderful.
Well, that's why we're all here, right? As destination marketers, we get to do a pretty awesome thing, and that's market destinations around the world.
Absolutely. It's a fun job.
Well, tell me how you got into it. I mean, it sounds like you're really well traveled. Did that happen after you got in the industry, or were you a traveler that decided to just work in what you love?
Oh, it's very easily explainable. I'm an Army brat. So I was born in the Philippines, and then we moved to Japan and a couple other places, but I spent 5 years in Hawaii, which was really bad when a fourth through ninth grader, you know, you don't have to wear shoes, you're just outside all the day. then graduated from high school on Okinawa, which is, you know, part of Japan now. It wasn't then. But Taiwan and all these places. So I just kind of grew up traveling. It's kind of who I am, and it's really truly in my blood.
Got it. Okay, then let's talk about professionally then. How did you go from, you know, Army brat, grew up traveling all over the world, to working in tourism?
I'm an ad agency guy. I spent 25 years in agencies, a couple of different really good ones, and started out as a bad writer. Well, I started out as a writer, first of all.
Okay.
Then I discovered I was a bad writer. Then I got into other stuff in the shop. So I was in account service and account planning and strategy and all that kind of stuff. I just found out that I could, I was a whole lot better at translating what needed to be done from a marketing standpoint into the creatives than I was a creative myself. But that's fun. It's not a bad thing. So I was in Wisconsin and work for an ad agency at that time, Frankenberry, Laughlin and Constable. They're now Laughlin and Constable, and this is in the mid-'80s, mid to late 80s, and the Wisconsin tourism account came up to pitch, and we'd already handled the Department of Economic Development, which was a separate department. So we pitched that and won it. So that was my first baptism in fire with Destination Marketing, was with the state of Wisconsin back in late 80s. Fun time. Spent years there. Got into, then left there, and then worked in e-commerce out in Milwaukee with a big tour operator that was a lot of fun, and then got recruited to go out to Boulder, Colorado. So all this is really travel-related something, whether it was destination marketing, or we had a little consultancy. We did some work with CVBs and things, everything in between. And then in the early 2000s, I joined a shop in Denver and worked on Wyoming tourism for 6 years or so. And then I jokingly call it, then I entered the dark side, then I came to the government side, and was associate director in Colorado for 5 years. And then I've been here for three here in Nebraska.
Wow. So you have been in tourism your entire career. That's great.
Pretty much. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, so it's actually interesting that you've been on both sides of the table as both an ad agency guy and then also on the dark side, as you call it, the government side. Tell me how that gives you a unique perspective on managing your team and probably managing your relationship with an agency.
Yeah, you know, I'm truly an ad guy at heart. So sometimes I find myself being kind of like the intermediary between, you know, the outside agency and the inside folk. But I think that having that experience is really valuable because government's a different place. You know, it doesn't act like the regular world, if you will, with the rules and everything. And they're not insurmountable. I mean, you have to find a way to work within them. But just knowing the agency environment and what is, you know, generally pretty natural to do there sometimes is not looked upon as generally naturally and, you know, in from the government standpoint. So just having a feel for those things, I think, is important because I think I'm really just able to prevent a lot of hiccups from happening. And that just makes the process go easier and the work better.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, having context on kind of what both sides of the table are going through is probably really helpful to be that intermediary role, right?
Absolutely. No question. I think the truly, and I like that intermediary position because people really don't understand both sides, you know, and there's no reason for an operation and government to understand the other guys or the other guys to understand government, but my goodness, you know, size of some of these contracts, there's millions and hundreds of millions of dollars spent in destination marketing on an annual basis in somewhat similar situations. You know, you have some kind of a government or private public-private partnership that use tax dollars working with ad agencies who are, you know, perceived as crazy places that just like to spend your money. You know, and knowing both sides of that.
We don't love that perception, but yes, we've definitely seen it out there.
I know. But see, you jumped right on it. It's true. I think that if people understand that, first of all, advertising is not the least expensive business in the world. Ideas, you know, one of the people I grew up in the industry with said, you know, we're paid for our ideas. And many times there's just no way to price that. So, but again, in this intermediary role and this translator role, I think that I've had a lot of experience in hopefully making both sides happy.
Well, and it seems like you have with the state of Nebraska, and I want to talk a little bit about your campaign.
Yeah.
You guys have done something, and I love it. I'm really excited to talk about it because you've done something really risky and you've seen huge success with it. So tell me about this risky campaign that you've done and kind of how you came up with it as a team and what led to it. And then what did you have to go through to get it approved?
Okay. I think the biggest thing of it all is there was a significant marketing problem that we faced. And I think that that's always a good place to start any kind of thinking regarding a new strategy or anything. And in destination marketing, there's three things, and you probably know them, you know, awareness, ad awareness, familiarity, and likelihood to visit.
Right.
And when I started here in Nebraska, the numbers, and I won't tell you them, let's just say that they were very low. As a matter of fact, the Portrait of American Travelers, it's out of MMGY, and it's been done out of Pete Yesa, which is shop in Florida for years. I think it's 28, 29 years old now. For at least back until like 2012 or so, Nebraska was the least likely state in the country for people to visit. So that's a pretty significant hurdle. I mean, if you can dip down there and old 50th place for a year or so and pop back up, but having that length of time in the basement, if you will, is it's kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, let me ask you about that, because identifying that problem means you have to admit that the problem exists. And I've got to imagine there was some people or stakeholders that feel very passionate about where they live and very passionate about Nebraska that may have been a little hesitant to embrace that as the problem.
You know, and that fits right into the whole concept that we'll talk about. The whole campaign is really based on what's called a value-based positioning. It's based on core human values. And interesting that you said that, because the value that this whole thing is predicated on is the value of honesty. We did a lot of work outside of the state. We built this from the outside in, because I just think it works better that way. I mean, people from the outside, when they come, they stay longer and spend more. And not only that, they really don't have a horse in your race, and they'll be very straightforward with you and tell you exactly what. So when we started, we did a lot of work, qualitative work, in different markets, you know, the Denvers, the Kansas Cities, Minneapolis, Des Moines, the kind of areas with a few more people in them around here. And we found out a number of interesting things. And the first one was that consumers didn't even consider Nebraska as part of the typical vacation category. And that's another problem, because if you're 50th place and people don't even think you're in the category, that's a tough sell. So right out of the blocks, we knew, you know, there's just basically a strong preconceived notion that there's nothing to do here. We're not in anybody's consideration set. And we knew right from the get-go that rather than just informing the public, that we had a real perception problem here, and that we had to define and go after and changing these perceptions. One of the stories I like to tell, there was, I don't remember what city it was, but there was a quote from a gentleman in a one-on-one. He said, oh, here you go, I'll do it this way. You know, when you go to New York and you come back and somebody says, hey, how was your trip to New York? And you go, boy, that was a great place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. This guy, right. in this interview, this guy said, I'd like to live there, but I'm not sure I'm excited to go there on vacation. So we were just absolutely upside down, you know.
Right.
And what we found, nothing got better, okay, for a while. Because what we found that we really just faced what's called brand apathy. And that brand apathy was so because of those preconceived notions of nothing to do and things. Consumers told us that they really weren't interested in putting forth any effort to research anything about Nebraska. That's pretty big. And the third thing we found out was that, you know, and this is a geographic thing. It's the size of the state. there are fun things to do here. There are fun things to see and do everywhere. But when we talked to people in focus groups and told them about these things, they generally said, yeah, those are all cool things that I probably would do if I were there, but they're really not, for me, strong enough reasons to go. So, you know, just talking to people about things to see and do wasn't going to cut it. So we knew, again, right, pretty much from the get-go, that we had to be pattern interruptive. We had to somehow break these perceptions, and we had to challenge these perceptions that people have, while at the same time being true to the DNA here and what happens here. And we told our tourism industry at the first conference I was here almost 3 years ago now, we told them, and this is to your point about, did you have some uneasy people? Well, we warned them that what you're going to see in a year, and we hadn't put pen to paper on anything having to do with the campaign at all, that it was going to feel risky and edgy, and that some of you people out there, it's really going to take you outside of your comfort zone. We knew that.
So you're laying the groundwork early.
We knew that going in. Yep. And Great. This is a very interesting culture. It has a wonderful sense of humor and everything, but you know, they're not big on looking at lists and being number one, two, and three. They're just pretty satisfied with being honest and all those kinds of things. So this core human value thing was important. I can explain that to you really easily, really quickly, because it's really easier to give an example than get into all the philosophical stuff behind it. But, you know, we always ask, we throw a picture of a Harley motorcycle up there and say, what does Harley Davidson sell? The first thing to blurt out of most people's mouths is, well, they sell motorcycles, of course. Well, yeah, that's, you know, but work a little harder at it. You know, go a little deeper. What do they really sell? You know, and Harley sells freedom. And, you know, I speak a lot out in groups, and I said, if you want a brand video or something that really encapsulates Harley Davidson, go to YouTube and hunt that down, because I don't care if you have never been on a motorcycle, right? In your life, I don't care if you're an enthusiast, you will have goosebumps after watching that manifesto. It's sensational. So yeah, Harley sells motorcycles, but they really sell freedom. Nike is another pretty well-known thing. You know, that little swoosh, and you know it's Nike. And what does just do it mean? Nike is all about empowerment. So that's the track we went down. We had to find a way to, I guess the best way to say it is, transcend talking only about things to see and do, because like I said before, every place has things to see and do, and generally, not in all cases, but generally, unless you really have a sensational thing to see and do in your destination, everybody pretty much has everything, you know. Yeah. Same stuff. I have fun with the craft brewers here. I told them, I was joking with them one time. I said, you can't swing a dead cat in any state in the union and not hit 40 craft breweries. They're not coming. People don't come to the state to visit your craft brewery. Immediately, then I have to come back out and say, but craft brewing it's almost cult-like. So when people come to the state, once we get them here, once we find that reason why, they're going to hunt you guys up. And they're going to enjoy craft breweries everywhere. So that's kind of the concept. And we had to find that sweet spot between the values of the place and the values of the people who were interested, who are, you know, in visiting here. So we did that, a lot of work in that arena.
Yeah, we call that persona mapping, right? Yeah. You take the target persona and their values and match it with what message is going to touch on those the most. And yeah, I think that's a great exercise to go through.
Yeah. And there's, you know, it's hard work. There are truly about almost 500 different values, you know, and values are your inner compass. It's the basis for what you make decisions on and how you live your life and things. So it can be pretty heavy stuff, but as you know, in working a campaign like this up, the whole strategy is a process of focus. It's not a shotgun process. You have to keep winnowing it down to, in this case, that one core personal value that we thought was shared here by the culture and out of state by the people who are interested in kind of the same things here. So we narrowed it down to about 10 of them, and honesty came up as the winner. And it's worked, because for the creatives who worked on it, we had to, what I call it, dimensionalize what honesty really means. Because, you know, initially when you say honesty, somebody says, well, I tell the truth and all that kind of stuff. Well, it's much deeper than that.
Right.
And we dimensionalized it. We came up with three kind of pillars: truth, simplicity, and purity. And I'll just read you some words, because I'll tell you a story about that in a second. But candid, open, and straightforward, and sincere are under truth. And simplicity is unadorned and ordinary and appreciative and self-aware and modest. And purity are the genuine, the authentic, open-hearted, and natural, unblemished kinds of things. And those were our pillars. And we were showing some people when things were in layout stage yet. And there's a gentleman here who I was walking this through. And he said, what exactly is this now? And I told him that we actually built this from the outside in. This is what the kinds of things and how people described what honesty is. And he looked at me and he said, well, that's me. So we knew then that we had a connection between talking to the people from outside of the state and what the real, as you put it, the persona or psyche of the place was, or the people in the place. So we knew that this honesty thing had some legs. Yeah.
Great. Now, I think our listeners might kill us if we don't get to what the actual, you know, campaign is. Let's talk about the campaign and messaging and dive into that.
Sure. I mean, where we settled, and we tested it around a lot, where we settled was on, I'm not a big tagline guy. I've always believed that if a tagline kind of puts a bow on the, you know, a bow on the present, if you will, that it's worthwhile. But it came out as, honestly, it's not for everyone. And the executions are really interesting. There's a concept in the development that we came across, and it's called inoculation. So when we were out of state talking to people, we asked them what their barriers were to visiting here. And these are the kinds of things that came up. There's nothing to do here. It's flat and boring. Nothing but flyover country, and on and on and on. You know, the dusty plains, the dusty Great Plains, and all that. So what we did was this technique called inoculation was we fed them the thing that they were most familiar with. For example, one of the headlines on one of the ads is "Lucky for you, there's nothing to do here," and we have a picture of people tanking. Now, tanking is a unique thing here. I don't even know if you know what it is.
I'm not familiar with it.
Oh, you got to come up and do it then, because somewhere along the line here, and then whatever, in the last whatever years, a rancher or a farmer took a livestock tank and threw it in a river, and now you can go tanking. The rivers here don't have what, like in Colorado, they don't have the hot water, the rapids, but there's a lot of miles of river in this state that are deep enough, and you set a bunch of people up, you can get 7-8 people in a tank, up to 10 maybe if they're little kids, and you just float down a river for hours, and it's in beautiful.
Oh, really?
Absolutely beautiful terrain. You got paddles and stuff, and you bring your favorite beverages in there, and I've seen even people grilling in them, and you mosey down these rivers, and it's phenomenal. So
that is unique. That's really unique. Yeah.
So, I mean, the fun part was, this is really a concept and copy-driven campaign, because I'll read you the ad because it's fun. It says, "Lucky for you, there's nothing to do here." And the copy is, "In Nebraska, we believe that only boring people get bored. So we invent our own fun, like when we realized that a livestock tank would float and thought, it's a boat. Soon, tanking became a preferred method of meandering down our slow-moving rivers. It might not be everyone's cup of tea, but if it sounds as good to you as it did to us, go to visitnebraska.com for a free travel guide and welcome aboard." So it's a
brilliant.
It's the inoculation is throwing, you know, drawing them in. I think you mentioned it before. One of the keys to this whole thing, I think, was really having, and people say it's gutsy. Well, it's hard for a marketer to admit that they, you know, aren't popular and this kind of thing. But this campaign really did that. I mean, it just took it by the horns and said, yeah, you might not think there's fun things to do here. And that's okay. There really are. And we told them what it is. We put the spin on it. There's another one that's great. The old flat and boring.
Before you move on, I love the line, we believe the only boring people get bored. Because you immediately, as you're hearing or reading that, you start to question, well, am I a boring person? Well, no, I better go to Nebraska, right? I'll find something to do that's fun. I'll challenge that.
And as it has been in the marketplace, and we've talked to more people about it, the interesting thing is the understanding of honestly, it's not for everyone is coming through now. Better. Initially, if you just take that, you know, when it got into the press and stuff, the press always simply seems to just take the tagline and everybody's
base ruling, value.
Yeah, they're just ruling on the tagline. Well, you know, it's not even half the story. You know, it's the bow. It's like I said before, it's the bow on the present. But what we found was this started to give some differentiation. You know, this isn't a place like Disney World, where you're led around by your nose. We really found out that the psyche of the people who come here—I call them the people who want to peel back the onion. They're not satisfied with outward appearances. They want to dig a little deeper and find out really about the soul of the place. And that's the kind of people we're looking for. I mean, there's a something called Toadstool National Geologic Park, way, way, way up northwest. Almost South Dakota. And so it's a beautiful, it's the wind blown and it's cut these rocks out to look like toadstools. Thus, it's called Toadstool. And the headline of the ad is famous for our flat, boring landscape. Again, the inoculation. We fed people a perception, you know, that many of them believed. And then we went into this copy. It said, there are two kinds of people in this world. The ones who think Nebraska is nothing more than a 77,000 square mile cornfield, and the ones who don't. We find that second group to be a lot more interesting and are comforted by the knowledge that there are people willing to look a little deeper to discover what makes this place so special. We're not trying to convince everyone, just you. So go to visitnebraska.com and be the kind of person who gets a free travel guide. So you can see that, yeah, the copy's tremendous. You can see there was a technique to it, but the copy's really strong, and I think that like we were talking before, is that admitting that you're not for everyone was, I think, the thing that, you know, took the country by storm.
Right. Well, it's a risk, right? And especially in marketing, you don't see a lot of people. It takes somewhat of a slight or a backhanded shot at themselves and kind of be a little bit self-deprecating, right?
And absolutely.
You guys did that really, really well. I'd love to hear a little bit about the results that you've seen, because you've been doing this for 2 years now. Is that right?
No. It just came out in April. It's a year ago right now-ish is when – year ago, October 17th, is when we showed our tourism industry the campaign at our annual conference. And I remember it vividly. The presentation finished at 4:30 in the afternoon. It was 3:30 to 4:30. We did a little media after that. Then we had a big awards banquet that night. And our social people and PR people noticed there was something going on. By 9 o'clock the next morning, we were getting calls from name somebody, CNN, New York Times, everybody. It just, All Things Considered on NPR. We did the lead story that day on that, and it just exploded.
That's fantastic.
In 45 days, just about the end of November, you know, mid-October to end of November, the earned media value on this. Now, when it started, we started to do fun things to seed it. You know, Alive with Kelly and Ryan out of New York. They caught a hold of it, so we sent them coffee mugs with their names on it, with the logo on it. And they used them on their show for a while, and they refer to it every once in a while yet. So who knew? But the value of that PR for that period of time was about $7.2 million, and that's bigger than our entire budget, including rent, people, and everything else. So, you know, Colbert picked it up. I mean, who knew? we had fun with him, you know, because he looked at the camera that night and he said, "Nebraska, are you okay?" So we tweeted back at him and got back to him on Facebook the next day and said, "Yeah, we're fine, Colbert. And by the way, okay is Oklahoma." So the whole platform just seemed to, I mean, it was there. It was all intentional. And the fun things that have come out of it that we've been able to play with just continues to keep it top of mind.
So, John, I just want to pull one thing out of this for our listeners that I just love, especially as you're going through the earned media value that you earned. You know, marketing is a risk-reward business, right? And and if you play it conservative and don't take any risks, you're probably going to continue to see the same results or some incremental growth maybe, but nothing crazy. If you're willing to take a risk, now there's the possibility that it can fail. But in my opinion, you either win or you learn. It's not win or lose.
All right.
And so I think you can fail, yes, but the reward, the possibility of reward, the $7.2 million in earned media from having the guts to do a non-conventional campaign far outweighs any of the possible downfalls of doing something like this, right?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, this truly was kind of lightning in a bottle thing. And there was two things I had written down I'd found in books. Understand, let's go back to the beginning of our conversation. We were the least likely state in the country to visit. And, you know, and so you got to change something. And this is a great quote I found. It says, "If you don't like change, you'll like irrelevance even less. Enough said." And that, in a way, was permission for us to go with it. And then another one that I picked out of a TV commercial for a national shoe company. It says, "A sea of mediocre will never yield an ounce of great." So we ran into those things pretty early on, and they were kind of mantras. There was a book that a guy I know wrote, and Jonah Sachs, is called Unsafe Thinking. And I've known him. And when we were kind of in the throes of how far can we push this, his book came out. So I read it one weekend and I thought, okay, that's all I need. Because, you know, in his book, he goes through all this really cool experiences, like the woman who was VP of CVS Pharmacy. She took it over and I don't remember what her position was, but she was the one who pulled cigarettes out of CVS. And she said, "If we're going to be a health store and this, we're not going to sell cigarettes here." That's gutsy stuff. And what Jonah does in his book, it's interesting. He's discovered a lot of things. He says, the more experience and expertise we gain, interestingly, that we stick even more to the familiar approaches. So our default is to safety.
Yeah, you know, to reply to you on that, you'll appreciate this having been on the agency side too. I can't tell you how many meetings I've been in where somebody says, "We have this problem that we need to solve." And so we put our heads together, we put together a few options, right? And we say, "Here's how we feel like you can solve this problem." And the answer is, "But we've always done it this way."
Oh.
And it's like, no. The way you've always done it is the problem.
Absolutely. Right? I mean, that's exactly the manifestation of the default to safety. I mean, if you're in a room with somebody and you're not one of the higher-ups, if you will, and you have a hell of an idea, and that person says a little something and you take it to, "Oh boy, I don't know if I should say that now," that's even more reason why you should say it. You know, because in this industry, everybody talks about things to see and do in their advertising. Not everybody. Many places do. And like I said before, everybody pretty much has the same stuff. So how do you differentiate? So it's like in this industry, there's a lot of places that also try to be something they're not. Or on the other extreme, they try to be everything to everybody and end up being nothing to anybody. So I think that knowing this and knowing it for years and going into the campaign development, yeah, I think it took a little guts, but I think we also knew that with that goal of changing perceptions rather than just providing information, we pretty much had to take the risk and go at it. And we did.
Yeah. Well, okay. So tell me visitation so far. What are you seeing? I know it's early. You launched in April, right?
Yeah. There's a couple of things we're over a weird fiscal year and it's only been out in April, but we're funded by, our whole office is funded by a 1% lodging tax. Okay. So for not all of last fiscal, but for the entire fiscal year that ended June 30th. So the campaign had been in there not quite, you know, April, May, June, three and a half months. We set an all-time lodging tax record. And the law was put in that created that lodging tax. That lodging tax was created back in 1980. So there are really good signs that the stuff is working. We had June of this year. June was the largest, not only the largest June lodging tax collection, but the largest month ever by a significant amount. So the initial things are looking really good. We're doing some monitoring the marketplace because we want to find out. We're really a couple levels below that. We're really watching the awareness and, you know, the awareness and the likelihood to visit and the familiarity aspects of it really carefully. And just some initial numbers that we have, that's looking pretty good too. But you don't fix perceptions that were so deeply rooted as this. We're not going to fix them in a year or two. This is going to take a spell. But what we're finding is at least people are now interested. Here's another good, really good example. And this is, I've always said, we've stripped this campaign down to the bare bone. So when I said before that people wouldn't even go to the website to research, one of the things you naturally watch is, did your trip to the website increase? Well, just from the time the campaign was introduced till now, we're up over 105,000, and on a site that got about 360,000 people the year before, having an increase of 105,000 site visits is fairly significant.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
So yeah, we just have to. It's out there. We're gonna, you know, we watch it closely every day, and it's a unique thing, and we just and the results look good so far, really good.
Well, congratulations, first of all.
Thank you.
What a great idea, great campaign. Took some guts, but what a reward. I mean, to have your biggest month ever just a couple months after launching the campaign, and really transient room tax collection is the best way to measure the effectiveness of the campaign because, you know, there's so many different, especially in tourism, so many different levers to look at, brochure downloads, web traffic, all that kind of stuff. But what matters is, did people come and stay? And in such a short period of time after you guys launched the campaign, people are already booking trips and coming and staying at a faster and larger rate than they were before. I think that speaks volumes to what you guys have done. So kudos to you guys.
Thanks. It's been fun. It truly is lightning in a bottle. But hey, the more lightning in a bottle you can hunt up, the better, I guess.
Totally. Now, tell me, you know, and I think we've just got a couple more minutes, John, but how do you know it's a risk worth taking? I mean, you didn't know that you were going to have your biggest month ever when you're coming up with this campaign. No. You didn't know web traffic was going to be up by, you know, around 30%. How do you know it's a risk worth taking?
There's always a decision point, and like I mentioned before, that Unsafe Thinking book kind of gave me personally permission to do it. But we did a lot of work with consumers. We sat and listened. We did focus groups. We did one-on-one interviews. We tested. The word tested is bad because, you know, creatives say, all right, let's not test everything. We talked. We talked to people about it. And when we went into this testing and stuff, we knew that this kind of self-deprecating humor, well, humor's funny until it's not, right? So we knew we had to take something in to see how far we could push the envelope. And, you know, in a short answer to your question, you go talk to people who are your prospects, and this is a real high interest category. So they'll tell you. So we just listen very carefully, and I'll read you this ad, and I'll even send it to you, because we took an ad in that was we thought was going to push the envelope. Okay, so this is an ad about festivals, events. Every state has events, and you have, you know, fun mutter runs and all this other kind of stuff. We have some unique things here. So the headline of this ad is festivals for everything from mud to testicles. And the subhead is, some of you are shaking your heads. And people just tested the best of all the ads. And the copy just says, Nebraskans can find joy in just about anything. So we have festivals celebrating just about everything. Art, science, junk, juggling, chickens, pirates, bees, John C. Fremont, mud, and yes, those delectable cattle cojones. Not everyone shares this approach to life. But if you're a Nebraskan at heart, go to visitnebraska.com for a free travel guide, and maybe we'll create a festival to celebrate just that. That ad tested very well, and it didn't offend anybody. So we knew that we had, and you know, and then grouping with all the other stuff and everything, we knew that we had something. And I guess that part of the whole game is, how does your gut feel? And yeah. That's kind of where it comes down. You got to get out of your head and into your heart and your gut. And we were in our gut by then, and we said, let's just let this thing fly. And we did.
John, the copywriting on this campaign is just incredible.
Yep. It's really good.
tell me the name of that book again, because I actually would like to, oh, yeah. I would like to have it posted for our listeners.
Yeah. It's Unsafe Thinking. And the guy's name is Jonah Sachs, S-A-C-H. He's a former ad agency guy from the Bay Area. Really good guy.
Okay.
And actually, when you know, you were talking before about, weren't you kind of concerned about how the culture or your industry would accept all this and everything? We actually brought him here to do a presentation of Unsafe Thinking the morning before, or the morning of the day. He was keynoting that morning before we premiered the campaign, and it was entirely intentional, because what it allowed to do, because he's a really good speaker and he has a lot of good examples, it just opened up people's heads. It just opened up them to being a lot less, you know, defaulting to safety, and it worked really well.
Awesome. Well, would you be willing? We have a LinkedIn group called Destination Marketers, John.
And sure.
We've got lots of our listeners that are members of that group. And usually when we have a compelling piece of information that you can't verbally display, we try to post it in the group. I'm wondering if you would be willing to post some of the ads from your campaign.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that people can refer to it in the LinkedIn group.
Yeah, we will. We can't get into TV because we're talking through the airwaves, but one of the coolest things that was come up with is, and we did not go into testing with this, but there was a concept that we were fiddling with, and the TV commercial is called Odd Kid, and basically is Nebraska's just like that odd kid. Everybody knew one in school. It's that person who, you know, might have seemed a little peculiar, but once you got to know him, he was really something else. And we'll post that. We'll just send me the information. We'll get it up there, because it's a really strong but yet very unique brand positioning, and it's working really well.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'd love to have you post that. I'll have Kyle send you the
perfect
link to be able to join that group and get it posted.
Yep. And there's kudos to a buddy of mine who I've worked with I worked with him for years and didn't work with him, but brought him back. His name's Kirk Runke. He's the master behind the copy. I've met few people like him. And he just, this was a home run.
That's great. Well, congrats again. Is there anything I haven't asked you as far as advice goes that you feel like may benefit our listeners?
You know, in the destination marketing area, I hope this campaign is going to give people, first of all, thinking that they got to work a little harder at things, take a little more risks, and... No, I just think that the questions about how do you get there, it's all feel, you know, it's can you take that step? And there's a lot of really good thinkers out there and a lot of fun books like Jonah's and all and many others that I think you just have to keep up to date on. And you can find you can find the steps to take and just the confidence, and all of a sudden, yeah, let's just go with this whole crazy thing. We work very carefully. We have a commission board of 11 people. We have marketing committees and everything else. We met with them a lot more frequently. And I guess the coolest thing of all, there was a gentleman from here, and, you know, he said one time that when he got it, he said, you know, we're not a braggadocious culture at all. And he said, but we do have a sense of humor in things. And I think this is giving Nebraska a voice. And I think that's probably the highest paid comment that anybody's made about the campaign, because it's a fun voice and it's welcoming, and it makes a whole lot of sense. And it's really, really, really honest.
That's great. That's great. Well, John, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I appreciate your advice, your experience, and helping a lot of us, you know, learn how to think bigger and take a few risks, right? And the reward Absolutely. That can come along with that.
Absolutely.
So thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Adam. Have a good day.
You too. Hey, this has been another episode of the Destination Marketing Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Reminder, if you want to see those ads that John talked about here on this episode, go join the Destination Marketers LinkedIn group. We have new content posted almost every day now, and we're learning and growing together to become better destination marketers. So thanks again. We'll see everybody next week.